Good morning. Welcome. It's so good to see you. This is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Although we shall be reviewing several verses in the book of Judges this morning, the main text consists of two verses, Judges 17:1 and Judges 21:25. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read these main verses, and then keep your Bible open as we look at other verses during the course of the sermon. Judges 17:1 and 21:25. 17:6. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. And then 21:25. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. These two chapters begin and end with these bookend verses. They make it very clear that the nation of Israel, God's people, had moved away from moral absolutes. There was no absolute truth, no absolute standards in which they believed. There was no authority in which they believed them, to which they believed themselves accountable. The Israelites had lost their moral compass. You know, yesterday was September the 11th, the anniversary of the largest terrorist attack on American soil to date. And many Christians in this country believe that our country is under attack because we have lost our moral compass. They believe Americans need a moral and spiritual revival or we are doomed. And this is a fear shared by many of our prominent religious Christian leaders in America today. And sadly, such fear fits perfectly into Bible prophecy. Anytime a nation begins descending down into immorality and experiences the judgment of God, then such dissension occurs in this order: moral decay in the family, moral decay in the church, and finally, moral decay in the government. In other words, as the home goes, so goes the church, and as the church goes, so goes the nation. And I want us this morning to consider three factors which I believe we need to bring, and I'm going to add back to my sermon title, to bring back glory to the United States of America. Because I do think we were a nation that was honored and respected for our religious beliefs, and for our compassion, and for our stance on many issues of the day. And I think that glory has faded, and we need to bring it back. So let's look at these three factors, which I believe can help us bring that glory back. First, we need families with a godly foundation. We've talked about this from this pulpit before. You've heard it on many talk shows. I'm sure you've read articles about it. You probably even read entire books devoted to the family in America today. But I want you to look in your Bibles and follow as I read from the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Now a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it." Then his mother said, "The Lord bless you, my son. When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said, I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make a carved image and cast idol. I will give it back to you. So he returned the silver to his mother, and she took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith who made them into the image and the idol, and they were put in Micah's house. Now this man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some idols and installed one of his sons as his priest. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Now this man Micah is not the prophet Micah. He in fact is a spoiled kid. His mother had saved money all of her life, and he stole the money from her mother. 1,100 shekels of silver, which was a great deal of money during this time. And the mom didn't know who was the thief. So she placed a curse upon whomever took the money, whoever stole it. And Micah became scared when he heard the curse, and he returned the silver to his mother. Not because of any conviction of honesty or any conviction of concern for his mother, but out of fear. Rather than scolding him, what does mom do? She blesses him. And she was glad the money was returned and decided to dedicate it to the Lord. Did she give it to the WMU for the Alma Hunt or Lottie Moon offering? No. She gives it to a silversmith to turn it into a carved idol. And of course, as God stated in His Word many times, this type of idolatry was forbidden. But such conduct is an example of how spiritually depraved, how spiritually blind the Israelites had become in their abandonment of their faith. Far removed from the true worship of God, Mom and Micah believed that they were doing God a favor by making this silver idol to him. Now, verse 5 tells us that Micah had a house with shelves full of idols. He was steeped in idolatry. And then he installs his son as his priest. Well, we all know from the reading of God's word that that is not how God selects priests to serve him and to serve his people. The son was not qualified. It was not according to God's teachings. It was not according to God's method of selecting the priest. So here we have absolute confusion spiritually in Micah's home, yet these people think they are serving God. In this family, they were guilty of coveting another's property, stealing, cursing, dishonoring a parent, idolatry, and only God knows what else Micah and his mother and Micah's children were guilty of. They were morally bankrupt. However, if you confronted them with their conduct, they would say, that's your opinion, but this is the way we wish to do it. In other words, as our text said, everyone did as he saw fit. And unfortunately, such is the posture of America today. It's not that we don't have enough religion. We have religion up to our ears. The problem is we have forsaken the truths of God's word, the authority, the standards, and the morality set forth in the Bible. And this lack of Bible conviction even infiltrates families who attend church regularly on each Sunday. Parents are losing their children because we are not the examples that God wishes us to be. We want our kids to obey, yet they see us doing our own thing. Everyone does as he sees fit. So our inconsistencies will be magnified in our kids, just like just as Micah's mother's issues that she had with hoarding money and turning them into idols magnified itself in Micah's own life. The conduct that we indulge in moderately, that we think, oh, it's okay, our children abuse in success. In a small Missouri town, a preacher's two sons were playing with a little dog they found. It was a black dog with a white tail, and of course they wanted to keep the dog. And the father knew his sons loved the dog, and they heard that a new family had moved into town and had lost a dog which was black with a white tail. And the preacher dad did not want them to lose the dog or have to give it up, so he painted the white tail black. And when the new owners came looking and said, could this be a dog that we've seen around your house? The pastor said, or lied, really. He said, no, the tail is the wrong color. Did you know the names of these two sons were Frank and Jesse James, two of the most notorious criminals this country has ever known? As parents, we do not receive the child we wish to receive. We receive a child like us. A child that's going to imitate how we act, how we behave. And these two young boys saw their father, who was a preacher, lying about a dog. Bringing glory back to America has more to do with my house and your house than it does the White House. We need families with a godly foundation. The second factor we need, I believe, in order to bring glory back to America is preachers with principles. And I certainly pray each and every day that I am one. But if you look at verses 7 through 13, I think we'll see a different type of preacher. A young Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, who had been living within the clan of Judah, left that town in search of some other place to stay. And you know from the history that the Levites were the tribe of the priest, and they were the ones that the Lord had anointed and ordained to serve as priests. So he left Judah in search of some other place to stay. And on his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim. Micah asked him, where are you from? I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, he said, and I'm looking for a place to stay. Then Micah said to him, live with me and be my father and priest, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver a year, your clothes and your food. So the Levite agreed to live with him, and the young man was to him like one of his sons. Then Micah installed the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in his house. And Micah said, now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since this Levite has become my priest. This young man from Bethlehem was an unemployed priest looking for a place to stay, and his paths crossed with Micah, who says to him, have I got a deal for you? You come and be my priest. I'll give you 10 shekels of silver, a place to stay, provide you food and clothing. He entices this priest to move into his house. And Micah feels good about what he's done. He's being religious. This makes him feel good. He's got a real priest now. Someone that can absolve him, you know, pray for him and talk to him about his sins and how to absolve them. He feels good about being religious. But friends, let me tell you, sometimes religion sends more people to hell than sin does. We get so wrapped up in it and distort it to the way we think it should be instead of the way God's word teaches. This priest proves himself to be a hired hand because he agrees to serve just for the clothes and the money and the lodging and food. In fact, the priest tells the Danite warriors, four Danite warriors come to Micah's house, and he tells them he was hired by Micah. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus is telling the parable of the shepherd and his flock. And he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So the difference between a true man of God and a hired hand is the hired hand is committed only to himself, not to the truth set forth in God's word. Now, I'm certainly not saying that a pastor should not be compensated. In fact, the Bible tells us that a pastor should be able to live off of and from his pastoring. In fact, it says that a pastor is worthy of a double honor among the people. But the hired hand tells people what they wish to hear in order to draw a crowd and not to offend anyone. He's not called of God. He has just chosen a career. And there's very little wrong today with America that could not possibly be fixed with more truth preachers and fewer hired hands. We need preachers who will preach the uncompromised word of God. The very topics that are politically incorrect to talk about are exactly the ones about which we need to talk. And I pray God every day, as I say, will give me the strength to talk about those things that He lays on my heart that we need to talk about. We as preachers need to say, it's not an alternative lifestyle. It's homosexuality and it's an abomination to God. We need to say, it's not art. It's pornography. We need to preach the uncompromised word of God. We must stand on the absolute authority of God's word. Our churches are so caught up in worship styles, fads, self-help topics, the feel-good religion that we see on TV mostly, these mega churches where the pastors tell the people, you know, everything's okay. It's all right to have a lot of possessions. It's all right to do this. You just need to feel good about yourself. And we've stopped the prophetic preachings and teachings of God's truth in His Word. And I believe that most Americans are fed up with pop psychology from the pulpit. You know, hate legislation is now a hot-button topic in the United States, and it's already against the law for me as a pastor to endorse a political candidate or speak out against someone who's maybe charged with a crime in the community or maybe has done something that I feel like as a pastor is wrong to do that. But I can and I shall preach moral, biblical truth and encourage you to determine the stance of candidates on issues that affect us as Christians here in America. In Galatians 4:16, we read, "Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Ecclesiastes 7:5, "It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools." Americans are flocking to hear the songs of fools each and every day. And I feel like my job is not to necessarily fill this sanctuary, but to fill the pulpit with God's truth, with His Word. to bring glory back to America, we need families with a godly foundation, and I believe we need preachers with principles. And thirdly, I think we need a government with God. Now, hear me out. Don't get excited. I am aware that Judges 17:6 states, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. I realize God did not establish Israel as a democracy. He established it as a theocracy with himself as the ruler. And I realized America was not established as a theocracy. But if you study history and do not try to rewrite it or revise it, there is no question. Our republic was founded on Christian biblical principles. The evidence is irrefutable. You can talk about, I watched part of a program yesterday on conspiracy theories about 9/11. And, you know, all these people off the wall with things that, you know, just from common sense didn't make sense. And you can talk about that all you want to. You can talk about that we were not a theocracy, God didn't set us up as a, but the evidence is there. We were founded on biblical Christian principles. And when we remove God and the Bible from the nation, we began to unravel. We've lost our foundation, friends. Everybody does as he sees fit. Politicians don't mind talking about values until you ask them, whose values? Whose values are you talking about? Are they God's values? Well, then you start getting hedging here and there. Why do you think gays say they have the right to marry? Because everyone does as he sees fit. Just leave me alone. I can do what I want to. I don't have any authority to answer to. Our judges keep striking down laws of common sense in favor of political correctness, which provides and protects criminals and immoral activity of all types. We have lost our moral compass. But in America, there are many Christians today, many believers who are becoming involved in running for office and peaceful protesting and taking a godly stand on issues. We don't have to believe those who tell us that because we believe in God, we need to keep quiet. Because we believe in God, we need to speak. We need not be ashamed of speaking. We need not stand in the corner and mumble that this is wrong, what this person is saying, and it's not according to God's word. We need to speak up and say, no, that is not what God teaches. There are moral sparks still in America, and I think we just need to fan the flames, and hopefully we will. Our homes and our churches can affect our government. We need to have families with godly foundations. We need to have preachers with principles. And we need to have a government with God. And those of you who have not become followers of the Lord Jesus, who have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, but have felt the Holy Spirit tugging at you to do so, you need to do that. You need to become a child of his and speak up for him at every opportunity. And you may be the one that can change a community, can change a county, can change a state. So we invite you, if you felt that call, that you'll come forward and say, yes, Lord, I confess my sins and I believe in you. As we sing our invitation hymn number 275, I Surrender All.